Pat Westhoff at the Food and Agriculture Policy Research Institute. There's an update to the baseline. What are input costs doing? And they seem to be going up, but what are they doing to net farm income?
We saw a significant increase in farm input costs the last several years, and another $10 billion increase expected for calendar year 2018. So that's one of the several reasons why we expect to see a bit lower net farm income in 2018.
And what will it do? What's that going to mean to producers then looking at their bottom line?
Yeah, we've had farm income off sharply from where it was at the peak in 2013, depending how you measure things. You know, net farm income today is roughly half the level it was at the peak. That's caused continued stress for a lot of farmers around the country. We're looking at debt asset ratios rising and a variety of other indicators. They're not very positive for farm finances.
The MFP payments, they're pushing direct government payments to their highest level since 2006. What effect is that having?
Well, it definitely ameliorates the drop in farm income that otherwise would have occurred this year. USDA actually projected a larger drop in farm income this year than we're currently projecting. And the main difference is the MFP payments that are incorporated in our projections that weren't part of USDA's numbers that I'll put out at the end of August.
Okay. Now, maybe you can help me on this. We, of course, heard quite commonly the figure of $12 billion in the MFP payments. And I was reading in your bulletin that we're assuming $4 billion the rest of this year and $700 million in 2019. Where does the difference come in?
Sure. The $12 billion that was talked about was listed as kind of the maximum possible number of dollars that might be spent on various trade compensation provisions. Of that $12 billion total possible, only about $6 billion have actually formally been committed at this time, with the market facilitation payments being about $4.7 billion of that total, and another billion or so in purchases and other support to the sector. There may well be a second round of payments somewhere down the road, but we don't know yet at this time. And for purpose of our baseline, we only built in the payments that have already been announced.
Getting back to the bulletin, the farm real estate declines happening in the next few years. What's that going to mean on for farm assets?
Sure. We've seen farm asset values hang in there better than I might have expected, frankly, in light of the challenges faced by the farm sector the last few years. We do think, though, that the combination of continued relatively flat returns or even declining returns for some commodities, plus rising interest rates, could result in at least a small drop in farm real estate values the next several years. So that pulls down overall farm assets, and with debt levels rising, that means that the debt-to-asset ratio is increasing in the future.
Yeah, and you point out in the bulletin as well that farm debt is going up. Do you project any change in the rise in farm debt?
No, we are continuing to see increases in the farm debt levels, and we don't see a reason to see that change anytime soon. So we do indeed have built-in continued increases in overall debt levels.
What's contributing to that increase in farm debt?
Well, again, as many farmers are having a challenge of just meeting current operating expenses, you're seeing more desire to borrow money, at least in some people's parts. With real estate values going up, that likewise can cause at least some increases in debt levels as well. I do need to point out, of course, that debt levels, while they are increasing, are still relatively low by standards of the last 20 years or so. So while there's definitely concerns in front of us, it's not anything like the 1980s in terms of world debt levels. And obviously, we have much lower interest rates today than we had back during the time of the farm crisis.
Anything that you'd like to add?
Well, those are the major stories. We'll be watching to see, of course, how markets evolve in the weeks and months to come. These estimates were prepared based on August supply and demand conditions. Since that time, we've learned that this year's crop could be even larger than we'd anticipated. So prices might be even a bit lower than we were already projecting at that time. So we'll continue to monitor things and look forward to putting out some updated projections once we have more information.